Hi, and welcome to Deep Dive with Jamie Stein, where we take a deep dive look at all things reality TV, pop culture, and the world at large. I'm an intuitive and an empath, which means I pick up on the thoughts, feelings, and energy percolating in other people and the world around me. I believe there is meaning waiting to be found at every turn, if you're willing to see it. So join me as we dismantle everything from trash TV to high spiritual concepts and learn more about ourselves, each other, and how we're all connected. Hey, you guys. It's Sunday morning here, and I just had an impulse to quickly jump on to my little Zoom recorder and just record a few quick hit thoughts, responses, perhaps even a drop-in or two to the Winter House premiere. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, thinking of this perhaps as a bonus episode, but checked out the Winter House premiere, found myself having some thoughts and impulses, and just wanted to share them. So here we go. I think what I'm really drawn to in the premiere is Kyle Cook. And let me just preface this by saying that I am a huge Kyle fan. I have such a huge soft spot for him. Look, of course, I see him, warts and all. I see his frat boy behavior. I see how obnoxious he can be. I see the ways that he doesn't treat Amanda well. Yes, I see all that. And I also just always feel how huge his heart is. I feel how much he truly cares for the people around him. I feel his good intentions. I think this is a man who truly wants everyone to be happy. And I also appreciate his humor. I just feel like there's such a strong force of love in him, and it touches me. And like I said, I just have a huge soft spot for Kyle. So I'm just sort of saying that up front, because having said that, I definitely have my concerns for him, and I've had my concerns for him for a while. I think there's sort of two things that I'm aware of in terms of this pilot episode. You know, one is just his relationship to drinking in general. And then two, specific to this episode, obviously he had a very charged and triggered response to the room situation. And I think actually my sense is these two things are connected. But just speaking first and foremost about Kyle's relationship to drinking and to partying, the truth of the matter is I've felt since the early seasons one and two, and seeing and witnessing Kyle's really, really deep investment in partying, and not just partying, but a certain style of partying where it's basically about getting drunk for the sake of being drunk and getting so drunk that you end up, typically just kind of passing out on a couch, laying in a puddle of half-eaten chips and feeling his, like I said, his deep investment in it, his attachment to it, something that he protects at all costs, my cookies are ready. Let me go tend to my cookies and I'll be right back. Okay, you guys, I got my cookies out of the oven and I'm back. So where was I? So yeah, just feeling how protective and adamant he was about claiming his space and his right to party in a way that feels very young. It feels very kind of specific almost to college, frat, fraternity culture. And like I said, feeling how adamant he would be about it, even to the detriment of his relationship, like the way that he would fight for it in a really kind of angry and impassioned way, to me, and, let me just kind of preface this by saying, this is my perception, it's my feeling, it's my sense. I'm really not in the habit of the business of diagnosing people as anything. But in the nature and the spirit of having this podcast and just kind of using language that feels right to me, from a place of how I would maybe want to explore with Kyle, you know, if I had the opportunity to. To me, it felt like this is a guy who perhaps has a problem with alcohol. Like, I'd call it a problem. And that's how I would language it. Obviously, that's ultimately for Kyle to define for himself. But for the sake of this conversation, I experienced his relationship to alcohol as a bit of a problem. You know, it reminded me a lot of, I remember James Kennedy, when he was getting sober, saying something to the effect of, you know, my pursuit of drinking was basically me chasing a destination that I never arrived at. And that's kind of what it has always felt like with Kyle to me, that he's sort of chasing this idea of a good time that never really arrives anywhere and just involves him getting blackout drunk for the sake of getting drunk. And again, it's the level of investment in it that made me think this is a problem. For example, you don't see Paige or Lindsay or Danielle fighting for the right to get blackout drunk in the same way that you would see Kyle fighting for the right to get blackout drunk. There's a charge and an energy and an attachment to it that to me has always suggested there's something deeper going on here than just a simple desire to have a good time. And I guess if I let myself follow that for a moment, you know, the general vibe that I've gotten off of Kyle is that there is a heated charge underneath his desire to stay young and to not want to get old, which we've seen also manifest in commitment issues and in the early years cheating on Amanda. I think he even threw a party that was called like a never grow old party. And for me, I always experienced this as a very charged thing. It didn't just feel like, oh, that's, you know, this is a cute, funny Peter Pan complex. You know, he's young at heart. He just wants to have fun. That's never what it felt like to me. It always felt like Kyle's refusal to grow old, and I'm using that language very intentionally, it's felt like a refusal from him on his part to grow old. Like, I hear a voice in him saying, I will not get older. I will not mature. You can't make me. This is my act of defiance, and this is my protest. And I will not fully mature and become a grown man who lets go of things like getting blackout drunk and partying for the sake of partying. I will not do it. It almost feels like, as Kyle, if I were to let that go and just kind of step into what we would call adulthood of just, you know, being the businessman and the family man, and I sort of surrender to this notion that I've matured out of youth, and that those kind of old/young boyhood pursuits, I've aged out of them. It's time for me to let them go. It's almost like if I kind of feel into that as Kyle, I mean, again, I just feel this angry voice in me that says, no, I won't let that go. Because if I do let that go, it's like, yeah, I'm really surrendering something. It almost feels like self-betrayal. So for me, when I hold all of this information coming through me, the bigger picture of what it feels like energetically is that Kyle's attachment to staying young in a certain type of way, which is connected to his partying and his drinking, it feels like a covert or passive aggressive protest. It feels like him defiantly digging his heels into the ground, and it feels like a vehicle for a rage and an anger that he hasn't been allowed to express in his life. And that's why I say it feels like Kyle would almost experience it as self-betrayal to let go of the partying, because if there's an anger in Kyle that he has not been allowed to express or to know for himself, and so it's been driven underground, and so now the way that anger kind of expresses itself, again, unconsciously, is through this kind of silent protest of, I will not grow up and you can't make me. If he lets that go, that means he's essentially giving up whatever part of him wants to say no, whatever part of him wants to protest something. And that's why it feels like self-betrayal. There's something in Kyle's system that feels like something's been missed here. Something's been missed. Something's happened here that I don't like, and I haven't had room or space to speak to it. So my unconscious passive-aggressive way of acting out that anger is through my obsession with partying and being young. I will not grow up. I will not give you all of my masculine energy, my mature masculine energy. You don't get that from me. So yeah, I do think there's kind of a charged, angry protest underneath Kyle and his drinking. Now, you know, what's he angry about? Where does this come from? Obviously, I don't know the specifics. I will just say, again, from a place of curiosity and playful exploration, what I will say is, you know, we don't know a ton about Kyle and his history, of course. There have been certain little moments that have definitely pinged for me along the way, certain little moments that kind of got my intuitive spidey sense tingling, certain moments that, if I were to sit down and kind of enter a space with Kyle to explore this unexpressed anger and this protest, I have certain things I would definitely want to ask him about. So some of those moments, for example, you know, I've been really interested in his mom and his relationship to his mom. It's very clear. Kyle loves his parents and he's close to them. But he's made, there's certain comments that have been made that have stood out to me. I remember in an early season, him kind of talking about his mom and what did he say? Basically saying something to the effect of, you know, she doesn't know how to censor herself. You know, things just kind of fly out of her mouth. And it was kind of said with affection, but you could also kind of feel a little bit of wariness under it. Like, it was such a quick moment, but I just, again, got this kind of hit around, okay, I feel like Kyle's saying something here, that mom, there's a way in which she may have been a handful. There's a way in which her personality may have dominated. He also made mention when, you know, he was sorting through difficult times with Amanda that his mom actually was unfaithful to his father at one point. It may have been before they were married or it was early on in the marriage. But again, it was something else that just kind of jumped out at me of like this sort of sense of mom having a lot of, let's just say, strong energy that sort of having an impact on the household. Or the family unit. And I wonder about it. You know, I wonder about his household growing up. Even as I say this, I keep hearing the word like chaotic. That there may have been a way that Kyle was experiencing his household or his home or his parents' relationship as chaotic. Because the other thing you have to remember about Kyle is my experience of him is that he's actually very sensitive. And I've talked about this before. Like, I thought part of why he really blew up at Luke last season is because Kyle, in terms of his higher self, like I said up top, like I feel his heart. I feel his love. He feels like a family man. I always feel the part of him that is so invested in the group being happy, in the group being like a great functioning unit. I think he's really sensitive to group energy. I think he's really sensitive to what's going on with people. And I think it's hard for him to tolerate when things are amiss. So I'm thinking about Kyle in that way. And then I'm imagining him perhaps as like a young kid or a boy in a household where, and is he an only child? He feels like an only child. I don't know that we've heard much about siblings and Kyle. You know, so I'm suddenly imagining it's just like him and his parents. And again, there's a lot of love there. They're very close, but also kind of like as a boy, maybe sensing or picking up on a form of chaos and kind of looking around being like, what the F is going on here? And perhaps sort of knowing and seeing and sensing some things. And again, if I just sort of allow myself to dream into this, I kind of maybe pick up a flavor of sort of a dominating, eccentric mother and perhaps a passive father. And maybe there's stuff going on there that's not being fully addressed. And as Kyle, it's like, this doesn't feel good or right. And I love these people and I want to speak up, but I'm not allowed to. And it's almost like when I say that, I almost kind of hear this voice comes in that wants to say, Kyle, we love you. We support you. We want to hear from you, but not about these things over here. Kyle, we love your energy. You're so great. Speak up, but don't you speak up about this over here. Almost like some sort of mixed message. And yeah, as Kyle, it's sort of like I almost feel like I'm getting a mixed message about my own energy and about like where I can speak up and where I can't speak up. And again, having this love in my heart for these people, but also feeling like something's off and I'm not allowed to say something. And almost like a way in which my own energy and the way that I see things and hear things and the things that I want to like speak up to, it gets turned against me. And I'm pissed about it. And again, especially for someone like Kyle, who I experience as so emotional and so in touch with his feelings, and as someone who actually kind of really needs to be able to let those feelings flow through him in order to feel like there's a sense of sort of harmony and peace. Again, I just go back to last year and the way that he really sort of channeled the rage of the house towards Luke. I think of Kyle as kind of someone who's a bit of a channel for group energy. And so then again, I'm just imagining this little boy who's kind of sensing stuff going on, wanting to speak up, and then kind of getting the message, you ain't allowed to do that. And it's like, as Kyle, who has so much love to give and has such deep good intentions for the people around him, getting this message, like, I'm not allowed to speak up. I'm not allowed to let this through. I've got to hold it in. I'm being supported in one way, but then being suppressed in another way. It's like, fuck no. This ain't cool. This ain't cool. So, you know, again, Kyle's not here. Who knows if I'm onto something or not, but this is kind of the flavor that I get of like Kyle's anger, like this voice inside that says, wait a second, there are things I wasn't allowed to do or say, and it doesn't feel good. So fuck you. you think you're not going to let all of me flow? Well, you're not getting all of me. You're not getting my strong, powerful, loving energy. You're not getting all of me. I ain't growing up all the way. No way. This is my protest. You'll get some of me. You'll get some of me over here. I'll do really good in business over here. I'll kind of do what I need to do to create, you know, a life that's mostly functioning. But I ain't giving up. I ain't giving up my partying. I'm not giving up my drinking. I'm not giving up my youth. I'm holding on to something because there's something I have to say that never got said. And I hate that I love my parents so much and that my deeper feelings that want to be expressed in some way have been labeled or judged as, well, this is going to rock the boat. This is going to upset mom and dad. This is going to get translated as, you don't love us, or you're doing something wrong, or you're doing something bad. I don't like that. So having said all that, and having kind of spoken some to what I feel is the deeper rage underneath Kyle's investment in alcohol and partying and all that jazz, I am drawn, you know, to the way that he had an outburst over the rooms because, you know, here it all is, right? Kyle starts drinking and then he's angry. The rage reveals itself. So I just thought maybe I just kind of quickly drop in and just see kind of like what I get off what may have been going on specifically around the rooms. So I think the first real moment for Kyle was when Paige said she wants to take the primary bedroom with Sierra. And I believe Kyle said, I think this glazed look took over his eyes and he was like, I can't believe you just said that. So let me just kind of drop in for a moment and just see, like, this is Kyle to sort of Paige's announcement that she wants to take the master bedroom. Yeah, it's kind of like what comes up for me. I just immediately hear the words like, this isn't the way that it was supposed to work. this isn't the way it was supposed to work. Like, you're not following the rules right now. And I think as I say that, what comes to me, what I become aware of is that Kyle, much like he did with Summer House, it sounds like he really kind of set all this up. I don't know how the development of the show worked, but at least on the show, it was positioned that Kyle It almost felt like he was sort of a producer. You know, it felt like, you know, he's the one who has a history with Vermont. He's the one who found the house and set it up. And there's a way in which he kind of took charge as the man of the house and sort of the patriarch of the group. And I get this feeling like that was a very comfortable place for Kyle. And so it's like now when Paige speaks up and says, we want the primary bedroom for Kyle, it's like, well, wait a second. Like there's certain kind of privileges and rights I'm supposed to enjoy as the man of the house. And suddenly you're not respecting or paying attention to those. You're not collaborating on my narrative of my role here. So I'm taking that in. Like there's a feeling of, wait a second, I'm being disrespected. I'm being left behind. Other people aren't seeing my role as the man of the house. And then I think what's interesting as the scene went on, if you recall, Kyle kept trying to interject. And he kept trying to say, like, I think there's a simple way to deal with this. And no one was listening to him. They were all talking over him. And then they just actually kind of left the kitchen without him. So there was kind of a collective dismissal of Kyle asserting his authority and power as the man of the house. And so if I just drop into that for a moment. Yeah, it's kind of like no one's listening to me. I'm getting left behind. And then so where this actually brings me is Kyle, sort of very appropriately in terms of what we were just talking about. It's kind of like suddenly becoming aware that Kyle is entering this situation that in a lot of ways kind of embodies the youthful partying lifestyle that he's been so invested in, right? But he's coming there with his fiancée. He's coming there attached. He's coming there as a man who's about to be married. He's coming there as a man who's got a successful, thriving business. He's coming there as a man who's almost 40. And there's a lot of people there who, well, actually the majority of people are single. I think most of them are younger than him. And they're about to kind of have the time of their lives in the way that Kyle has kind of always wanted the time of his life. And it's almost like as Kyle, I can feel the place that kind of says like, okay, this is all doable and manageable as long as I have a certain role in this house. Like meaning if I have certain power and if I have certain control and I'm like the man of the house, and that's kind of like the privilege and the power that comes with me now being in a more mature role. A mature role that like precludes me from being able to like hook up and have fun and just do whatever I want to do. It's almost like for Kyle, it's like, okay, I can handle this as long as I'm exerting control and power and there's a certain respect that's paid to me. When that respect, when I perceive that that respect is not being paid to me, it's kind of like I just keep hearing the word left behind. I'm left behind. And then it just sort of becomes clear, like, holy shit, like, this train is leaving the station without me. I don't get to fully participate in the drunken hookups, in the partying. Like, they're just sort of leaving without me. And this is the place. Again, like, I called it self-betrayal before. Now I sort of hear it as I'm being left behind. This is the place where I have to deal with the fact that that party train has left the station. And I'm standing here as a nearly 40-year-old adult who doesn't really have a place in this world anymore. And now I have to deal with the anger and the rage that I've been disowning through my investment in this lifestyle. And again, I just this notion of being left behind feels so evocative to me as Kyle. And I think this is part of why he didn't want to like just go and join the crew to hash out the room situation. I think he even kind of said like, I'm not going to arm wrestle for a room. It's almost like he's staying so invested in this idea of like this role he's supposed to play. Like I'm above this. This is beneath me. I have a certain position in this house. And it's almost like he needs to stay invested in that position. And if he go, it's almost like my privilege as like the keeper of the master bedroom should be assumed by everyone here. And if it's not, this notion of like chasing after them and sort of racing to catch up and sort of fighting for my spot, I shouldn't have to do this, and I'm not doing it. And it almost feels too energetically similar to the emotional reality of my life, which is I'm fighting to hold on to something that's kind of escaping my fingers, meaning like I'm fighting for my spot in this youthful world of drunkenness and partying and hookups and kids who are younger than me. It's like I'm the older established guy who's fighting for my spot to stay here. That's what kind of like going and trying to like get the good room feels like. And so for Kyle, it's like, no, I'm not going to let myself know that energetic experience. I'm planting my feet in the ground. I'm just sort of trusting this is all going to resolve somehow because I should have this power and this privilege as the man of the house. And I need to be the man of the house in order to be okay with the fact that I don't really have an organic role here anymore. And so then I think what's so interesting is the way he kind of takes it out on Amanda. And he even said the way he said your friends got the room. You know, it's like when I heard that, when I say that, like the subtext I'm hearing underneath that is like, this is your fault. And for me, it's not that the room situation is her fault, which again, it was sort of baffling why he was holding her responsible when he was just hanging out in the kitchen. I think the it's your fault is him sort of blaming her for him being settled down, for him no longer being a carefree youth, for him no longer having an organic spot in the partying, just a party culture. It's like rather than taking responsibility for the rage that lives inside of him, he just knows he's angry. And then I think he's looking at Amanda and he's saying, this is all your fault. And it's a deeper issue than the rooms, but the rooms is what's most available. The rooms is like kind of like the emblem. It's like the vessel for this entire kind of energetic experience. And so he looks at her and, you know, again, her friends. I mean, it's interesting. Hannah is significantly younger than Kyle. Hannah's friends are significantly younger than Kyle. Hannah's friends are the embodiment of young and carefree, and we're doing what we want, embodying the very life that Kyle's been so invested in. These are your friends. This is your fault. When in reality, this is really all about the unresolved anger in Kyle that's been there all along. Which to me, like I said, has been kind of a protest in a place where he wasn't allowed to sort of speak up, say no, or protest in a very direct and vocal way when he was younger. This is his protest. And I think, you know, the last thing I'll say about this is I'm really aware of Kyle's relationship to control. You know, I mean, you know, when I see sometimes people talk about his relationship to alcohol, you know, there are some people who point out, well, look, you know, I mean, he's very serious about business and he is able to work, like unlike Carl, like Carl's alcoholism was interfering with his work. And so sometimes people say, like, you know, Kyle's able to run a successful business. He's able to turn it off. It's not like really a problem in that way. But to me, what I feel in that is just how controlled and controlling he is. Like, I think he is really great at compartmentalizing. I think he's intense in everything he does. So it's like work hard, play hard. And when Kyle's about work, he's all about work and is able to turn it off. But it almost feels like to me, his capacity to show up all the way for work is almost conditional on, but then there's a moment where I get to flip the switch and I get to completely lose myself in the drunken antics. And it's almost like this is how I make it work. And it's almost like if Kyle were a Carl, some part of him knows, oh shit, then I'd have to give up the drinking, you know, because it would interfere. But this way, I kind of manage everything. It's interesting because I've never felt such a strong flavor of like Kyle's control before, but I'm feeling it now. Kind of helps me understand too why Hannah was so triggered by him, because I think they're like sort of, they really are, what's the word? Like they're like, just such opposites. I think Kyle's all about control and compartmentalization and boundaries. And I think Hannah is all about, let's blur all the boundaries. I don't want to know any boundaries. Let's blur all the boundaries. I want everything to be a mess and I want to suck everything into my chaotic mess. But I think for both of them, it's a form of control. It just looks different. And I think that's part of why they're so triggered by each other. All right, you guys, that's it for now. I mean, of course, there's so much more to say. I at some point would love to talk about Amanda because I see a lot of people talking about, well, you know, why does she put up with this? I have thoughts about why Amanda is in this relationship. I'll save that for another time. But what I want to say for now, just as a footnote, is I don't really like Andrea very much. He feels... it's too much. It's too over the top. It's too hammy. It's just like, what are you trying to prove? I don't know. I don't trust that guy at this point. Yeah, not really overly excited about the new people. Let's see. We'll see. I, as someone who has never watched Southern Charm, I'm definitely not taken by Austin. Craig, this is my final thing I'll say. Craig, again, this is my first exposure to Craig. Seems like, you know, he seems like an okay guy, I guess. In the sense that he seems to have like a heart. My initial hit off him is that he's not well. So I don't know anything about this guy. I know he makes pillows and he's a lawyer. But he seems like he's suffering. I really get that sense that this is a guy who's kind of lost and wants to be happy and wants to have a more meaningful existence. And it just really feels to me like quick hit first impression, man, he's struggling and he's lost and maybe kind of is looking for help. And please, just to be clear, I don't mean this in a judgmental way. I actually like mean it in a concerned way. It just seems like he's struggling and I don't know what his relationship to alcohol is like, but I know he has a reputation for being really attractive. I mean, he's clearly really handsome, but I also noticed he kind of has that, I don't know, he didn't look totally well to me. And it just made me wonder how much is this guy drinking or, I'll just leave it there for now, you guys. So, anyways, I hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode. Maybe if I have time and energy, maybe this will be a recurring, maybe I'll do a little Winter House journey. Okay, you guys, as always, I'm so grateful that you're here. Let me know your thoughts. Feel free to message me, and I'll see you next time. Bye.